Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast, and this is our sixth episode, I think.
Sixth.
So today we're missing one of our co-hosts, Jenny Coyle, and in her place is I'm going to try to say nice words about you, Brian. But it's Brian Perrell.
Someone we've talked about on previous episodes a couple of times, at least.
I hadn't noticed.
He's partners with Adam Scott.
Co-founder.
I'm calling it.
A live-in relationship.
I don't think his wife or my girlfriend will appreciate being
They're both from Shooting the Script. Go check them out. ShootingTheScriptWordPress.com.
Wait, so now all four of us went to LACC.
Los Angeles Community College
alumni. Respect.
Who actually graduated?
The one douchebag.
I just want to point that out. There's a degree on the wall.
We've got that AA. Way to go.
It's taken me places.
Way to get that community college degree.
it's taken me right to this podcast.
All
right.
So
that's
again,
funny because the three of us didn't have to get it to get here.
Yeah.
That is pretty crazy.
We didn't waste our time.
You guys expect more out of me.
But anyway, for those of you who are new to the podcast, we're a weekly podcast where we pick a topic and then we list and discuss our top five favorite films of that topic. This week's topic being our, favorite remakes.
Yep.
Correct. In honor of the remake of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Correct.
David Fincher's remake.
Is that the only remake out right now?
The reason that we picked the list is because of Fincher's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
But you could basically say that every week, right? Because of this movie.
And for those of you who are new listeners, I'm Ricardo.
Brian.
Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
So we got four guys. We're girl list today.
Yeah, and don't be alarmed if you hear someone screaming bloody murder halfway through the podcast. It's one of us killing Brian.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'm going to make it to halfway.
That's why you're on the other side of the table.
So anything you guys want to talk about that you guys have seen in theaters? What's going on?
Before we start, I really have to thank Adam for something. He introduced me to MoviePass, and it has changed my life.
So we're it's already. Hold on, let me look. Two minutes in, and we're talking about MoviePass.
Yes, MoviePass.
I'm trying to get MoviePass on this podcast, and Adam's trying to get MoviePass on the blog, Shooting the Script.
Yes, so MoviePass, we love you.
Maybe a little love for both of us. I don't know.
That would be awesome.
But anyway, MoviePass.
So, Kevin, what was the first movie you saw with MoviePass?
The first movie I saw with MoviePass was Young Adult.
Inauguration.
Which theater?
I saw it at the theater across from where I work just because I could walk there. So it was a Pacific Theater.
Okay.
Yeah. The movie's very good. It's all about Charlize Theron and Patton Oswalt. Their performances are amazing. Charlize Theron just embodies this character who's just really sad, and she does such a great job doing it.
So is it flat? I mean, is it shot flatly, or is there nothing special about the direction?
I mean, it's not. I mean, when I think of like Up in the Air and thinking of the direction in that, I mean, it was terrific.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I've come around on Reitman because of Up in the Air,
and
whereas I wasn't so hot.
He does do a good job, but there's nothing stellar directing wise. I thought Up in the Air directing wise had things that just drew me in more. It was more about her performance and Patton Oswalt's performance throughout the film.
So that's still top tier for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, without a doubt. But I do have to say, I'm not the biggest Diablo Cody fan, and the film did warm me up a little bit more towards her. I did like the writing a little more than Juno.
Ugh.
But
hey, let's be nice to Juno. It's not a bad movie.
She's not here to defend herself.
That's strike one, dude.
Wait. So how do you feel, or Ricardo or Kevin about, or Brian, I guess, about Diablo Cody working on the remake of Evil Dead?
I know she's just rewriting, so
she's like doing
scared.
Like punch up.
She's punching up. But
I don't care. Whatever.
I'm more curious about Cabin in the Woods.
Talk about that. I don't know anything about that movie. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm moving on.
So I guess review wise for Young Adult, I'd say it's worth $12. I don't really need to see it again. If it was streaming on Netflix, I'd probably watch it. But
okay,
is it funny?
Yes, it is funny.
Okay. It's very funny.
Yeah.
So you saw it too?
I saw it also. I saw it like the week before Kevin saw
You talked
it.
About yeah. that last week then or something?
Yes.
Okay.
I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
I'm on here, but I'm not necessarily a big fan of podcasts. So watch out.
So get the fuck out then.
I just know I'm I don't have a lot of time to listen to things. I can read a lot more.
Yeah, well,
that's
kids will do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully, you people out there have headphones and spare time.
Well, they should if they're freaking listening to this, Brian. Oh, Brian, dude, we're gonna kill him. It's 5 minutes in.
Okay,
it's already
second movie on MoviePass.
The second movie on MoviePass was Shame, and
fantastic.
It was fantastic. I love Shame, and Michael Fassbender gives one of the best performances I've just seen by an actor lately.
Would that be your favorite performance of this year?
Yes, it would.
Okay, because it's really tough for me this year. It's fighting.
It was tough, but I saw this movie on Saturday, and I've still been thinking about it since then, and I just think about how great he is at playing this character.
Did you like Hunger?
I enjoyed Hunger. I thought he did a great job. I thought that with Shame, Steve McQueen has definitely improved how he lingers and how he shoots things, and I thought he did a stellar job directing. I love the angles that he shoots throughout this film.
I just think most people are saying this is like lesser than Hunger, and there's a lot to admire with Hunger, but this is much more watchable. This is, you know, it's not as arty.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Hunger and I enjoyed it, but I honestly, when I walked out of the theater of Shame, I felt like I slightly had the air knocked out, like the wind knocked out of me. So, I mean, it was just, I would definitely say for people out there, if you are planning on watching it, watch something cheery afterwards or don't have anything to do after the movie, because it's not it doesn't make you feel the best after watching it.
It's not the feel good hit of
it's not
the winter.
Feel-good. No, it's not.
And the two best shots, the jogging scene.
I believe it's yogging.
Yogging. And the first date with that waiter that just won't go away.
Those scenes are awesome.
And so how much would you pay to see it?
Well, I paid
$13.50.
I paid $16 at the ArcLight. I would pay $16 to see it again.
But you didn't. It was MoviePass.
So you paid $1.50.
What do you mean I paid $1.50?
Well, cuz using MoviePass.
So I use MoviePass, but I did see it at the ArcLight. I would pay $16 to see it again, because you only get to see a movie once with MoviePass.
Wait, so MoviePass only covers $15, what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you wanted to see 3D ArcLight on a Friday, you're going to be spending $5 extra.
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess Brian doesn't want a sponsorship by MoviePass.
No, I'm on the fence about it, okay?
Well, then
leave
then
me alone.
MoviePass, guys. So Adam Scott, Kevin Zubrevere, and Ricardo want all MoviePass.
Yeah, yes. MoviePass, if you're listening, Brian's staying on the podcast or the blog, will keep you from sponsoring, we can get rid of him.
Yeah.
He's expendable.
He is.
And so
you can buy him out.
How much would you pay to see it, Brian?
Well, I paid $13.50, so.
But would you pay weekend prices?
That was a weekend price.
Would you pay weekend ArcLight
prices?
What do
you mean, would I go to the ArcLight? Yes.
Would you pay $16 plus $3 for parking?
No, for a film that is, as you know, Kevin just said, not super pick me up and, you know, not conventional, definitely very watchable. Not just because there's lots of nudity.
Well, that helps.
That does help.
It does.
It's just like a cherry on top of the, you know.
I mean, the full front on Michael Fassbender was just terrific.
Yeah, you know, I've only seen a few people talk about this, but didn't you feel it had a, not so much in theme or anything, but it felt a little bit like American Psycho?
I could see that thing. I didn't think about that when I watched it, but when you bring that up, I can see comparisons.
And Eyes Wide Shut.
I could definitely see comparisons of both those.
It felt like a weird, you know, little brother to those films.
I could see that.
Brian, did you see anything?
It's been a while. I did see Lynn Ramsey's We Need to Talk About Kevin. Not this Kevin, but sometimes I question whether he's going to go on a school rampage. it was her first film in like 9 years. She was supposed to do The Lovely Bones until Peter Jackson stepped in and took it over, and we saw how that worked out. It's about Tilda Swinton's, this mom sort of remembering everything that happened with her kid from birth to when he goes on a murder rampage at his school.
Well, thanks for ruining it then.
No.
Spoiler alert.
It's not a spoiler.
Is that in the trailer?
It's in the trailer.
Okay.
Well, it hints. It's what the movie's about.
Freaking asshole. Dude.
No, but there's still... But the thing that makes the movie great is learning the details. I mean, when it opens, you see he has a little sister with an eye patch, and you see the house they're living in and the clothes they're wearing, and then it sort of jumps around. It jumps around, and then you learn these details of how these things came to be and what happened. But it's very good with the sound design and just the way it cuts. It's not like a back and forth like J. Edgar or something lame like that. It's very smooth, and it's just fantastic. I loved it.
How much would you pay to see it?
ArcLight weekend prices.
Okay, that's good. I saw the only thing I saw. I don't know if I talked about it last week. I saw White Heat at the New Beverly.
You didn't talk about that last week.
You mentioned going after we finished talking.
Yeah, yes. Edgar Wright thing.
Yeah, I wanted to see the Wright stuff. It's a Edgar Wright like film festival kind of thing that they're having at the New Beverly, and he's basically for this one. This one was part three, the Wright stuff part three. He's had two other series. And for this one, it was movies he hadn't seen. So got to see it with him, and Rian Johnston was there, and a James Cagney biographer. And he had some really cool insight into James Cagney. And the movie, again, I mean, I had seen it a couple times
you
before
didn't
that.
Do the double feature? You just saw that one?
Yeah. I was with my girlfriend, and I had to eat. I hadn't eaten.
What was the second film?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember. It was a Kurosawa film.
Oh, Rush? No. Throne of Blood.
No,
it was a crime movie. It was like High-Low.
High-Low, yes. I think it was High-Low.
No, it wasn't. It was
Throne of Blood.
It was one word.
It was Throne of Blood.
It was one word, dude.
Ron?
No.
It was Throne of Blood.
I'll look it up and I'll let you know.
Did you see Hulk there?
It was not Throne of Blood. You keep saying that, dude. Throne of Blood.
Did you see Hulk? Was Hulk there?
Your phone's ringing.
No Hulk?
No Hulk. Hulk wasn't there.
Film Crit Hulk, not there.
I don't know what he looks like, so.
I know, that's why I wanted this. He was supposed to be there.
No one pissed him off enough to Hulk smash.
Yeah,
he Hulk stayed. Smash. He kept it in.
I'm telling you, it was Throne of Blood.
It wasn't Throne of Blood, dude.
Okay,
that's strike two, dude.
Be proved wrong later.
Okay, and so I saw that. It was great as always. And yeah,
what
was
I've it? Got some bad news.
What was it?
Brian was right.
It wasn't Throne of Blood.
Suck
dude.
It. Suck it long.
He's pulling. Are you serious? He's pulling up the website right now.
Are you serious?
Which is a fantastic movie. You should have stayed for it.
Yeah. It was White Heat and Throne of Blood.
Oh, then, I mean, I've seen Throne of Blood.
So, did Brian just get a point back, or is that three strikes? I'm going to kill him now.
So, you get double points.
You get one strike.
Bonus round.
It was a ball. Sorry, dude. It was a fall ball. My mistake. So, anyway, what else has any other movies?
Well, Adam, what'd you see?
Oh, I saw this wonderful, wonderful film. It was so good. Cast of thousands. Little movie you might have heard of called New Year's Eve.
Ooh, I've been dying to see that.
This sounds like the downside of MoviePass. The black side of
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to love writing the review of New Year's Eve. I'm going to relish it. I'm going to enjoy it so much.
I'm going to include it in my biography.
I'm going to hate on this film so much. It was so god awful. But apparently, according to my girlfriend, not as bad as Valentine's Day.
Was it as bad as Glitter?
I don't know, because I have some semblance of dignity. MoviePass wasn't out yet, so I had no excuse to go see Glitter, and I'm not Brandon.
Well, he does have it on DVD. You could have asked to
you borrow, could
borrow
it.
Again, dignity.
Okay.
Adam actually goes through these periods of having a life and not having a life, and when he doesn't, watch out.
When I don't have a life?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll watch pretty much. Well, I mean, between when I get a life or when I don't have a life and Netflix, I'll watch some pretty awful movies on purpose.
They tempt you.
Especially horror, because I'm a big horrorphile, and there's some amazingly bad horror movies.
Yeah. And they're on Netflix.
Yeah.
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 I saw Vampire Babes from Burbank.
Oh, jeez.
It was like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Did we watch that together?
I think we did watch that together. Yeah. Or we watched most of it.
How do I describe this?
I think the title kind of says it all.
No, it doesn't.
It's worse than that?
It's like someone recorded it on their iPhone.
Yeah.
If I recorded it on my iPhone now, it would look much better than what this looked like. And I'm like, wow, if this could get bought by Netflix, then, you know, I guess anything will. So, anyway, we still love Netflix, except for that fucking increase
in
price.
It's not their fault.
Did we see anything else besides the brilliant New Year's Eve?
You mean Gary Marshall's future Academy Award winner? I'm sure I did. I don't know.
Can I saw some Redbox films. Can I throw that out of there?
Do it.
What did you see?
I finally caught up on the Southern masterpiece, The Help.
Okay. Yeah, and?
It's so fucking long. It's 2.5 hours. Have you guys seen this?
I have not.
I have not.
Unfortunately,
it's pretty terrible. But I will say Jessica Chastain, I was falling asleep, and then 30 minutes in, she shows up. She's fantastic. She makes that movie just like looking forward to her being back on screen. She was the best part. Otherwise, ugh, stay away.
I mean, there's a reason like Octavia Butler.
There's a reason she's in every movie.
She's got some moments.
Who? Which one?
Octavia Butler.
Spencer.
Spencer. Yeah, there you go.
She's...
You know, us black people, we all look the same. Yeah. So I can never tell like, whether I'm looking in a mirror.
You just black personed yourself. I did
black person myself. Octavia Spencer.
Okay. And then I just watched...
Viola Davis is the other one. I know her name.
She's good, but...
Boom.
Not... Chastain was MVP. But and then I saw...
Wait, whoa, because she's white?
I know, that's I think why more people aren't talking about her is because they're like, oh, this is a black movie. We can't really say that the white person
was really
the best thing about it.
I don't really think it's a black movie, though. I feel like it's white people making themselves feel better about white people. Or was not it, black people.
Was it produced by Tyler Perry?
No.
Then it's not a black movie.
Shut up. We're getting dangerous territory.
Oh, my God, I hate Tyler Perry.
No, you know, okay, the one thing I couldn't buy at all, out of, you talk about all the race problems with it, is she writes the book and suddenly all these rich white Southern women decide to buy it and read it as if they give a crap about a book about their maids. Like who would do that? Like I'm rich, I have a maid. Oh, a book about maids.
Dude,
oh,
spoiler alert, dude. I haven't seen it, dude.
A book about maids that cures racism. It just solves it.
Well, it did like really well on some book club or whatever back in the day. Oprah wasn't around yet, so like the New York, it was like a bestseller, and so they read it. When something becomes a bestseller, people will read it.
It's true,
regardless of whether or not they're bigoted.
Okay, moving on. I saw Beginners. Okay. The Mike Mills with Ewan McGregor, Melanie Laurent, Christopher Plummer, and that was a nice. It was a sad, lovely romance. I was happy to see that Plummer was amazing in it, because it's one of those things where you hear about the performance being great all year and he's going to win an Oscar. And most of the time when you see those, it turns out being a token. He's an old guy nomination. That's why he's getting it. And I was so pleasantly surprised to see that. No, he is amazing in it and he's deserving of every accolade he wins.
Okay. It's true though. He is.
He is quite good.
Yeah.
I'll have to see that then.
Yes.
That's all I saw. White Heat. That's it. I saw another movie, but we'll wait for next.
Dude, I'm waiting on you still. Huh? What, 6 episodes in? When are you going to see Immortals? I really don't even want to waste a movie pass on it. Go see Immortals so you can tell me what it's like.
I'll see it next week. Okay. That'll be the teaser. I'll see it next week. I'm not. All right. Let's get to the list. Okay. Let's get to the list. Let's get to it. Does anybody have I had a streaming of the week. And,
do it.
I forgot it.
So
anybody have one? Wow.
I know what it was. 13 Assassins, the Takashi Miike movie.
You saw that finally?
Yeah. Oh, I'd seen it. I'd seen it.
Already. Okay.
It's in my honorable mentions for this week, but anyway, it's a remake.
Can we talk about the Dark Knight Rises trailer?
Are we
avoiding that?
No, we can talk about it. We usually talk about the Dark Knight every week, so.
Yeah, that's it's true. Important to we'll get to talk about it every
go
week.
Ahead. Let's go. What do you have to say?
Well, who's seen? You guys saw the prologue, didn't you?
Well, we were waiting to next week to mention that review, but okay. Another movie I saw was Mission Impossible, and we might as well talk about it. Let's talk about it. And then we'll
was
talk
that not
about
supposed
Dark
to wait?
No, yeah, you just blew it, Brian.
Way to lay down the ground rules for
it's
me.
All right, it's all right. So we saw Mission Impossible.
That is shit. We're not talking
on
about
IMAX, and well, Kevin and I saw it.
I saw it also.
Oh, you saw it too?
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. I loved it. It was really entertaining. I liked it better than Part 3.
It gave me vertigo. That's
oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. Those shots
IMAX was pretty scary.
Phenomenal.
I was in the second row and I was just like, I'm gonna fall.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fall off this building in Dubai.
I felt like it was windy, like it got windy in the theater. My palms are sweating. I'm like, I'm not gonna stick to the wall, man. I don't have the gloves he's wearing.
Was it better or comparable to Dark Knight's IMAX?
It's different. It's different. Yeah. It's not. It's a different experience.
It is a different experience.
But this one did give me vertigo.
I think it's in the realm of movies inserting IMAX bits. It's closer to Dark Knight.
There's only been two. So
it's Transformers. I thought used IMAX.
Right. Right. Transformers. So, Dark Knight. Now this.
So that's three.
That's three.
Thank you.
Oh,
I can count.
Shit. Watch out.
So it's closer to Dark Knight than Transformers was. Yeah. It's not like, oh, hey, let's just put this IMAX camera on this edge. It's like, oh, shit, let's make them feel this with the IMAX camera.
Yeah.
Okay. They use it very well.
Yeah, Elswit's cinematography is terrific.
Yeah, I was surprised. I I noticed it in the beginning, and then I saw it at the end, the Ellsworth credit, and I was like, oh, shit, I forgot.
Yeah.
From the beginning to the end, I had forgotten, but definitely good cinematography.
That's always the smartest thing these directors are doing. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm going to hire the best guy out there.
Brad Bird, I can't wait to see what he does next.
Yes.
Another live-action movie, and he's a great director.
Okay, so would you rather have another Brad Bird live-action movie or Incredibles 2?
Another live-action. You can't talk.
Nah, see,
Incredibles
this
1.
Guy's not a Pixar dude, so I'm not going to listen to that.
But he's an Incredibles fan.
Yeah. Incredibles number one Pixar
that's
movie.
That's like the, yeah, that's his one Pixar movie that
that's
he
the
loves.
One.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So, but he'd rather have live action Brad Bird. What about you?
I want to see, because another Incredibles movie will come out. I don't know if it'll be as good as the first one, but I'd like to see what he could do as more live action, because yeah. He did a pretty awesome job.
Okay.
And then let's talk about the prologue. We saw the prologue, the Dark Knight prologue. And it took me a while to really say what I thought of Mission Impossible, because I kept thinking about the prologue.
Which is why I'm avoiding it like the plague.
Well, you might want to cover your ears.
I don't care what happens. I just don't want to see it.
Okay.
Well, I don't understand that.
What?
Did you see the prologue for Dark Knight?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well.
You're the fool that didn't see
because it. Because I didn't want to go see I Am Legend in theaters.
He's not a fool for that part. Okay, that was a wise decision. Like, it's like a terrible movie.
The two times I've seen a prologue of a movie before going was 20 Days Later and the remake of Dawn of the Dead. And in those cases, it actually got you excited for it when those films didn't have any buzz. But the problem was when you went to go see it, you were just like, okay, I've seen these 10 minutes already. Let's get on with the rest of the movie. It was sort of like that experience had been spoiled already. And I'd rather just go in fresh.
Well, the thing is, when you watch a trailer, those scenes are just kind of spoiled. Like, oh, I know.
No, they're not.
Because I think about it all the time. Like, when's this trailer moment that I saw in the trailer, when's that going to come out?
Trailers have spoiled movies more than any prologue I've ever watched.
Yep, for me too. So, see, 3-1, that trumps your...
I just have to say that the prologue is like a drug, and I just want more of it. I can't wait to see more of it in the theater.
I already can't wait because I've seen Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. I don't need to wait.
But I'm glad that I got a little fix.
Yeah.
And so in 6 months, I'll get more of a fix.
Also, too, if you're going to pay to see, like Brian mentioned, that he was going to walk out for the prologue.
I wholly plan on doing
that. A very stupid idea. You're basically burning, you know, five of those dollars because, you know, that's for... But anyway.
No, the money's for the IMAX Mission Impossible, which we all just talked about saying it was amazing.
It was amazing, but why would you just let it go? It's there.
No.
It's like Megan Fox is like, hey, do you want to see my boobs? And you're like, no, I don't. I don't. I'm going to step outside while everybody else watches.
No. I don't. I want to wait till I can not just see the boobs, but do everything else to her.
Because in 6 months, she's going to go completely naked. He doesn't just want to see the boobs. He wants to see everything.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
And you talk about getting a fix. My fix was the trailer that came out today. That was plenty. That's all I needed.
I feel like that spoiled way more, like the stadium collapsing. That spoiled way more shit. Have you not seen it?
No? I haven't watched the trailer yet.
Oh, great.
I was like, trailers have spoiled more than Christopher Nolan trailers.
Christopher Nolan's do not.
The Dark Knight trailer spoiled more shit for me than the thing. The thing is that the prologue is just the first 5 minutes, and it's just taste. And I mean, he's still gonna work on some things on it. I heard, and it's amazing. It just shows you. This is what it showed me that, oh shit! If this is the first 5 minutes, like, what the fuck is the next 2.5 hours are going to be?
But Christopher Nolan trailers...
You know it's going to be more than 2.5 hours, by the way.
Yeah.
It's going to be a three-hour movie.
Christopher Nolan trailers do not spoil anything, though.
They did.
You don't know. You haven't seen it.
I just spoiled it for Adam, who hadn't seen the trailer.
Yeah, but you have no idea the context of any of that stuff. That could be that could be the first 10 minutes after the 5 minutes you saw.
That could be a dream sequence.
That could be the Inception part. But anyway, either way, go see it. Don't be like Brian. Go see the prologue, and you're going to get to see Mission Impossible on IMAX. It's really fun. And you're definitely going to get vertigo. Your palms are going to get all sweaty. So
yeah.
And it's good to see.
It's completely worth $18.
Yeah, it is. And it's a really fun movie. It's up there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how up there it is because I keep thinking about Dark Knight. But anyway, let's move on. Let's do the list.
Dark Knight
it's
Rises.
Minutes, it's 20 minutes into the thing. And
okay.
We should talk. Get into the fucking list, dude.
Don't blame me.
But it's so much more fun to blame you.
I know. I mean, I'm here to be blamed, but.
We're blaming you for everything, Brian.
This is
just
true.
So you know. You're
I blame you for Batman and Robin.
I blame you for the Holocaust.
I blame you for the Holocaust. I blame you for the Lindbergh baby.
Racism.
9/11.
All racism.
9/11. Definitely blame for
racism.
Rick Perry.
Enron.
Rick Perry.
Yeah.
Rick Perry's his fault.
Bogoyevich. LaGoyevich. All right, let's get into it. The lists. So I can vote that we let Brian go first just because he's the guest this week. And next week. Fuck, another week with Brian, dude.
Meow, meow. Spoiler alert. Brian's going to be back next week.
I'm turning the shit off.
That's as long as he makes it through this week.
Yeah. Okay, are we doing all right. Just five?
Go five through one, and then we'll do your honorable mentions later.
Okay.
But yeah, so start with five.
Number five is True Lies.
Nice.
Nice.
From 1994, also cementing that year's status as one of the best. It's a remake of a French film you can't find called Le Totale, or something like that.
Cool.
I know you guys talked about it as a great spy film.
Yeah.
It is. It's brilliant at being all the action spy stuff, but then also taking it back to do the comedy. I mean, Bill Paxton is hilarious. You guys talked already about Tom Arnold being hilarious in it. And it's James Cameron. He knows how to do kick-ass set pieces and then still, you know, put the right people in the film to make it funny.
I love it.
Fantastic movie.
I'm on board. Is that all you have to say about it?
Well, you guys talked a lot about it already.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, does anybody not like True Lies?
I don't know anybody who doesn't.
If they do, I don't think they're in this room.
Yeah.
I think the only thing about True Lies is people don't know it's a remake.
Yeah. I didn't know until you told me.
Yeah.
So good on you.
Okay. So we'll move on to my number five. I picked 2001's Ocean's 11.
You son of a bitch.
Is it your number five?
That's my number five.
Well, you're after me, so let's talk about it. I love this movie. It's a Steven Soderbergh movie. He was on my list for favorite directors.
Yep.
So why wouldn't this be on my fucking list?
Now, have you guys seen... Are we talking about if we've seen the originals or is this?
I've seen pieces of the Rat Pack one.
I've seen the original.
You're allowed to talk about it.
Yeah. I've seen. You could talk about it. You could not talk about it. You could do whatever.
Well, I just don't think it's important whether or not the movie's great if you've seen.
Yeah. But the original is good. It's really cool with Frank Sinatra. It's the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
And I do love the ending of the original. Have you seen the?
I haven't seen the ending.
I have. I do like the ending.
Spoiler alert. They don't get the money at the end.
And oh, okay.
What?
Yeah, which is a really cool
it's
device.
It's quirky.
They end up hiding it in a coffin of one of their, because it kind of has to do with like they're veterans, like war veterans, and they have a coffin and they put the money in there and it gets incinerated and they lose all the money.
I just have no interest in seeing that after Soderbergh knocked it out of the park.
It's different. It's different.
Yeah, but
it just
seems like why would I do this when I could watch
it's
this
the Rat
version?
Pack.
Yeah,
you have to. If you don't care about the Rat Pack or Sinatra, well, then you're retarded and you won't care.
Yeah. So there you go. You don't have to.
Can I just be one of one of those things?
Nope. No. You're both.
You're slow. You're okay. Special.
You're frittata.
Well, no, that's an honorable mention for me. Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
You said Soderbergh's one of your favorite directors. What I love about him and what this movie does, as well as in Che and all these other things, is he loves processes. He loves showing you, and a heist is the perfect thing for him to show you this. Just like how Contagion shows you how, worldwide virus can wipe out most of humanity, and Che, how you can overthrow a government. Ocean's 11, how to do a heist from, point one to point two.
And then he also, you get to the end, and then there's some stuff that you don't see that you kind of, he reveals it, and it's a really fun way he reveals things, and he manages that great, like, kind of like True Lies, where it's, like, good management of, like, being serious and being really funny. And there's a lot of, like, subtle moments with, like, Brad Pitt that, like, every time I see it, I discover something new.
Well, I mean, the scenes with him
when he's eating.
I love that he's always eating.
Yeah.
He's always eating. In fact, most of his movies, he's always eating. Moneyball, he's always eating. But that one, it's almost...
Well, I think they just made a point to make sure every scene he's in,
this is the one where
it's like,
okay,
we're about to roll. Everybody quiet. Wait, where's Pitt's sandwich? What's going on? Get him some nachos.
Chili fries. I need some chili fries. Stat.
Yeah.
You know what's great about that movie, too, is it's one of the few films that it feels like everybody was having a good time. And that turns into a good movie. Usually, they're having a good time. It's a piece of shit. This one, it's like, it feels fun. They're having fun. We're having fun.
Yeah, I feel the whole ensemble after each, like at the end of the day, would go out and have drinks together and just joke around because they, on the camera, they were just together. Their chemistry was great together.
And I think also there's a good management of some movies, they're huge ensemble cast.
Yeah.
They'll kind of, the smaller characters will go by the wayside. And this one, every small character has a good, like, arc and stuff.
I do wish I had more Casey Affleck.
I do that.
I always want more Casey Affleck in everything.
And I do like Casey Affleck and Scott Conn.
Their scenes together are great.
Their scenes are awesome.
And can we admit Ocean's 12 is terrible? I know you won't, but...
No, it's not as good as 12 or 13, but...
You mean 11
or 11 or 13.
I'm sorry, 11 and 13. I don't know any numbers.
I don't know. I'm having
trouble with math.
But
today.
I do love my 13. I love Al Pacino.
13 is good.
And there's some funny little things that I also noticed in that where like Al Pacino, I think his character is really, really dumb. And he says some things that are really dumb and you don't notice them because he's saying them with conviction. Not until like the second viewing that you're like, oh my God, why is he saying
Pacino
that?
Can get away with that.
Yeah,
like,
he's
saying
can.
Just crazy off the wall things like, wait, did he just say that? Yeah.
He did.
Him and
but he said hoo-ah afterwards, and I just looked away.
Him and Jack can get away with just saying just random shit. Yeah. Like, oh, I'll go with that. That's right.
Yeah.
The fact that you can just say him and Jack, and we know who you're talking about, says a lot.
Parr. Jack Parr.
Jack Parr. Yeah, exactly. Jack Parr.
Jack Bauer. but no, I love this movie. It's got great cinematography, which he did himself.
Yeah. Soderbergh is an underrated cinematographer.
And everything is good in this movie. And it just, every time I hear he's doing something new, it makes me kind of... It makes me want to see Hunger Games way more because I know he did Second Unit.
Just because he did Second Unit?
Yes.
Wow, really?
How about...
That's a trailer I did watch, and I still don't understand why people care about this movie.
I could pick out the scenes that were Soderbergh.
Oh, yeah? How about you want to see it because Gary Ross is cool?
Gary Ross is amazing.
Yeah,
but
Gary Ross is great.
But it's like, not only is Gary Ross directing it, but...
Didn't he get an awesome cinematographer for that one, too? Who's he got?
He usually gets a really good cinematographer, so...
Soderbergh, too?
No, I'm saying for... Not Second Unit. Okay. He is somebody else who's you're like, oh,
I'm sure
it's gonna be good.
I have no idea.
I think it's
Elsworth. I'm not paying attention to this movie at all.
Why?
Because it looks stupid. I don't care.
I will admit it does look stupid, but the books are fun.
Battle Royale.
You know what else? You know what the last book series someone told me was fun? Twilight. Fuck that.
Speaking. Forget Twilight. Let's not get into that. But
You saw that twice.
Speaking of.
Did you not see that twice?
No, I've not seen it twice. I've seen all three, not the new one.
Oh my God, dude.
Okay. Speaking of, you mentioned Battle Royale. I just want to throw this out there because when I saw We Need to Talk About Kevin, for anybody in LA, it was at the Cine Family Silent Theater. And I think we still have a few days on Christmas. They're going to show Battle Royale. It's the first time it's been shown theatrically in the U.S., which is amazing that 10 years later, it
on
still
Christmas
hasn't.
Day?
On Christmas
it's
Day.
It's an awesome Christmas present.
And it's, I'm like, they were telling us this before the movie. And I was like, really? This hasn't, all because of Columbine, because it came out the same year. And it just hasn't made it here because it's kids killing each other. Which, hello, go see it. Kids killing each other. So LA peeps, go to the Cine Family.
So that's my number five, sorry.
By the way, both of those movies, both of yours, Ocean's 11 and True Lies, are honorable mentions on my list.
So
the one other thing I have to say about Ocean's 11 is I've seen a lot of heist films, but it's probably the only heist film that after I'm done watching it, I want to start planning a fucking heist and go steal some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
The Good Thief.
I don't know what to say to that, Kevin. Also, either gonna
also a remake, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Kevin's either gonna
it's not on my list,
steal though. A bunch of shit or shoot up a school. I don't know what. He's scary.
I don't know about that.
There is something about him.
Adam, you're number five.
Oh, wait, so that was both of your number five?
That was my number five. We need to talk about him.
Time out. So my number five is a 1990s remake, Night of the Living Dead by Tom Savini.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so you know what? We forgot to do our IMDb plot thing.
Oh, that's right.
Just read it real quick. Read. You want me to read it? I can read it. But read yours while you're doing it.
Okay. The undead walk the earth. And I'll read the IMDb
with racial overtones.
Yes, but different this time. The unburied dead return to life and seek human victims. Bum bum bum. But this time there's more of a feminist bent, not just the civil rights.
Okay.
And I mean, it's got Tony Todd in it playing Ben,
which
I
is awesome.
Tony Todd's the black horror
Candyman.
Icon. Candyman. He's in the Hatchet movies. He's in the Final Destination movies.
Yeah.
If you can get Tony Todd to be in your movie, you're good to go.
Yeah.
But it's got Tom Towles or Towles or however you want to say his name, who I really like. He plays the father of the little girl who turns into a zombie.
Spoiler.
If you haven't seen one of the versions of Night of the Living Dead by now, then I don't know what to tell you.
The show is, if it's been about 10 years since it was made, you can say...
Yeah, if it didn't come out in the last certain amount of time, then you're fine.
Night of the Living Dead being public domain, you should have seen it by now.
Yeah.
Go watch it on YouTube.
YouTube, Google Video, it's on there. It's on the internet for free. It's in the air around you in the cloud. Yeah. Anyway, Tom Towles, he's always calling everybody a bunch of yo-yos. And he's also one of my favorite movies, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer as Otis. And I think he's a great actor.
Yeah.
I saw this one before the original, actually.
What?
And I know. I don't know. Because this one was on USA all the time back in the day when I was a little kid. When did you see Night of the Living Dead
I borrowed it from our friend Nate.
Yeah, see, I was watching Night of the Living Dead, this version, when I was like 5.
Because he was like, there's a remake. I'm like, what? Why would they do that?
It's cool. I like it. It's Tom Savini doing it.
It's okay. It's fine. I just would rather watch the original.
Well, I love the original, but
if you hadn't seen the original first, it makes sense that you're like, yeah, I love this movie.
No, And the makeup's, I mean, it's got Savini doing the makeup.
Yeah, Tom Savini's directing, and he's the great makeup artist, and he does all this makeup. I mean, they improvise a lot of the zombies. Like, oh, hey, well, they never call them zombies in the Dead series, but they improvise a lot of them at the last one. Like, oh, hey, let's have some guy who's walked out of an autopsy. That'd be cool. They did that on the set. Like, let's just do that. Throw it in.
Oh, wow.
It's a great movie. If you've seen the original, you'll appreciate this one.
I haven't seen this one, actually.
Yeah, I haven't seen this one.
I really like it.
Yeah. It's good. Not great. There's better.
It's my favorite.
There's
so
better
you can suck
horror,
it.
There's better yeah. horror remakes. You know, yeah. I would take Dawn of the Dead remake over
hey,
that
Brian,
remake.
Hey, Brian, shut the fuck up.
And this
stop talking about other movies.
Is this Tom Savini, right?
Yeah, this is Tom Savini. Okay. All
right. That's cool. I love it. Wait. Love that guy.
Stop talking and say your next one.
Yeah. Brian, you're number
now
4.
Now I feel assaulted.
Brian, you're number 4.
My number 4 is 1986's Little Shop of Horrors.
Nice. Honorable mention.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honorable mention.
Thank you. Wow.
You're still assaulted.
No, I just feel like you're mad at me now, and I don't know.
Do you want to talk about your movie, or you want to
talk about your movie? Don't talk about your feelings.
Okay, it's I never saw the original Roger Corman with Jack Nicholson, and I know they turned it into a musical first and then put it to film. It's Frank Oz. If you haven't seen it, it's about a killer alien plant that sings. And
I think it's whatever fantastic. The IMDb synopsis is, yours is better.
Rick Moranis, Steve Martin. I don't know what's the Audrey. What's Audrey's name?
We don't help people here in this podcast.
No, I know her name.
She's more of a Broadway person. She never really did.
She's also in Talk Radio, which is I love that.
Talk
movie.
Radio is awesome. It's just
it's Ellen Green.
Yeah.
Okay. It's my second favorite musical. I'm not a big musical guy, but the songs are so great. It's got a very fake look to it, but it makes it charming all the same for it. And it's hilarious. The songs are great. And you might know, Adam's mentioned it, I'm not the biggest Zombieland guy. And it bugs me every time people say it's got the best cameo of all time, especially because Little Shop of Horrors has the best Bill Murray cameo of all time. So I don't know how Zombieland could have that. It's hilarious.
Oh, because you wouldn't expect him to be in Zombieland. That's why.
I don't care. It's not that. It's an okay cameo.
Well,
compare that to Little Shop of Horrors cameo.
I don't really like musicals. So.
I don't really like musicals either. But like this and South Park are like my two favorite musicals.
I do have to say.
And Singing in the Rain, number 3. Okay, Singing in the Rain.
Okay,
number 3.
That makes me feel better.
That's.
I just think South Park cartoon more than musical. I mean, yeah, it's a musical cartoon, but whatever. It's
still a cartoon.
Yeah,
it's a musical.
It's a cartoon.
Okay. But this has all a right. plant that eats people.
Yeah. I like right. Little Shop of Horrors better.
I'll go into my number 4 since Brian won't shut the fuck up.
You just tell me tell me when should we have a buzzer to tell me when this
no,
is?
No.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
You know I'll go on.
Yeah, we'll just buzz Brian.
Okay. Bzz, Brian shut
and,
up.
Can we just smack him?
Yeah, we should. now
I might not like that.
I'll go into my number 4 and it is 1986's The Fly.
You son of a bitch.
Are you guys just
ditto.
The same list?
Fuck you.
What the hell?
Is it your number 4?
Yeah, it's my number 4.
Dude. Is it your number 4?
It's my number 3.
Okay. So let's talk about it. The original being the Vincent Price.
The Vincent Price campy one.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. All 3 of us have it.
Who doesn't like the Brundle Fly? I mean, you want to throw up looking at him, but who doesn't love
and
the
I have to say, I think it's because of Goldblum's performance that you just fall in love with the Brundle Fly and you just go along with it because he brings so much quirkiness and heart and creepiness at times, and it's all because Goldblum's performance sells it all.
He brings the Goldblum.
He does. I have to say Gold it's one
Blooms
of the best.
The fuck out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he does.
He's so funny in this movie. Just him and Gina Davis together. Was this before or after they got married? Or like right when they got married?
I think
probably at the same
before.
Time.
Probably around the same time. Yeah.
Okay. They're really great together.
Yeah.
I love when she just shows up when he's trying to get the girl to go through the teleporter.
Oh.
It's got the best line, be afraid, be very afraid. It's so good. And John Getz. I love John Getz in this movie.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
He
plays her,
Ex-lover.
Ex-lover, yeah.
Ex-lover slash boss.
Yeah.
And I like the pods. The pods look so cool. I knew as a kid, I'm like, I want those pods. I know there's a chance I could turn into a fly, but those pods are
so
cool.
They do look cool.
Yeah, and when the when that what is it, the monkey that is inside out?
Oh, the baboon.
Yep.
Oh yes, dude, that's fucking creepy, dude. I still have nightmares about that.
No, I like that movie. I feel like it's a little slow in the middle before it gets to just the all out makeup madness. So, but. Fine, I'm nodding man out on that one.
Yeah, we're all yeah. You can't see this, but we're all leering at Brian
okay.
right now.
But again, a better horror remake than Night of the Living Dead, if you want.
Well, that's why it's higher on
the list. That's why it's higher on
the list. Thank you for judging that. Yes, 4 is better than 5.
3 is better than 5 also, yes. And it's David Cronenberg, who,
yeah.
It's one of my favorite David Cronenberg movies. I think probably the first one I saw because it came out in 86, so I was 3.
Well, it's the most popular, probably still.
And I think I think I discovered Cronenberg because of this, I think. Like you, this was probably the first one you saw, you said.
Yeah, well, I remember growing up watching it all the time.
Yeah.
Again, way too young. Especially once when I finally bought it and I watched it, I was like, oh my God, my parents let me watch this. My parents rock.
Well, better they started you off there than Crash. I mean...
Wait, which crap? Oh, Cronenberg.
We're talking Cronenberg. Okay. What do you think?
I was gonna say, don't bring up that. Well, yeah, but that wasn't out yet.
Yeah,
I wasn't a child when that came out. I was old enough to make that decision on my own.
I mean,
yeah, I'm sure you did.
Cronenberg's obsession with flesh and what he can do with it, and kind of just come across on the screen, it's great. That's one of the reasons why I love him as a director.
Yeah.
What about the sequel?
I actually have not seen the sequel.
It's not Eric Stoltz.
It is Eric Stoltz.
Yeah.
Eric Stoltz.
I can't remember the sequel. I was, again, it's as young as you probably were.
Weird. It's so weird.
Is it me or does John gets make a cameo in that? Because he's not in
He
it.
Does.
He does.
He is.
Just a cameo, I think.
I just remember the beginning of the sequel.
Yeah. The brief cameo.
With his hands all jacked up.
And, yeah. Oh, well, man. I mean, when a fly spits acid on your hand and your foot, you're pretty fucked.
It's going to be, yeah.
Crap happens, you know?
Yeah.
And by crap, I mean your foot.
I love John Katz.
Okay, so that was your 3. What's your 4, Adam?
Okay, hold on. Filling. Oh, my 4. The reason I got upset with you, Dawn of the Dead, 2004, by Zack Snyder.
So
jumping on my mojo.
So you have nothing but horror remakes so far?
Yeah.
So far.
Do you have more horror remakes?
Let's talk about your number 4. Well, hold on. Before we move on, let me just read the synopsis for The Fly. Brilliant but eccentric scientist begins to transform into a giant man/fly hybrid after one of his experiments goes horribly wrong. That's all you need to know. Go see the movie. Now, you're number 4.
Great makeup effects.
You're not going to have Day of the Dead, are you?
No.
You're number 4.
I do love Day of the Dead, though. The remake.
That's what I'm saying.
That movie.
You're going like
that movie is so bad.
All the Dead remakes.
Hey, no. You already
5,
know
4,
my,
3.
You already know my number 3 is The Fly. That, okay.
You're number 4.
My number 4 is Dawn of the Dead, Zack Snyder, the one Zack Snyder movie I really like.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
Great cast. Sarah Pauli, Ving Rhames, Mekhi Phifer.
You must have been pissed when I was mentioning the prologue earlier, too.
The prologue of this?
Yeah.
No, that was fine.
Okay.
But you were jumping on my mojo right then.
Yeah. that's what I do.
Jake Weber. I love Jake Weber in this movie. He owns this movie.
Give us a synopsis.
Tyrell. That's the first Tyrell.
Yes.
We know, Brian. Calm down, okay? Calm down, dude.
Everybody's jumping all over each other. Okay. It's a weird synopsis on IMDb. A nurse, a policeman, a young married couple, a salesman, and other survivors of a worldwide plague that is producing aggressive flesh-eating zombies take refuge in a mega Midwestern shopping mall.
Ooh. I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it because I like it. I like both.
Yeah, are you you're not a bigger fan of the remake, right? You
just bigger than the original.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I love them both. They're very different movies.
Yeah.
Very, very different movies. They appeal to different aspects of my psyche.
Well, I know some people complain about the fast zombies.
It is weird.
They weren't that fast.
It works, I think. It works
compared
fine.
To any zombie in a Romero movie. They're fucking Kenyans.
And I know some people complain some of the characters are too stupid, but that doesn't bug me.
Well, stupid characters. It's a horror movie.
I know.
If you don't have stupid people in a horror movie, you don't have a plot.
But like they could have been safe had they not done this. It's like, well, what the fuck do you expect? Like you're watching.
We got to create conflict. You need stupid people.
I want to see them picked off. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah. That's one thing I do like is how much bigger the cast is.
Right. So
you can have that gory picking people up one at a time. And then Ty Burrell, is amazing. I love him.
That's the first time you're like, hey, who's that? And I think we all thought it was Jennifer Aniston's boyfriend. What's his name? I can't remember.
Brad Pitt? No, I didn't think it was.
Justin Theroux.
Justin Theroux. We all were like, is that Justin Theroux?
I knew this guy? It wasn't Justin Theroux.
I know. Yeah, we were like, it's not, but he kind of seems like him. And then now it's Ty Burrell. He's amazing.
He is amazing.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Ty Burrell, the dad on Modern Family.
I think the best thing Zack Snyder's done is given Matt Frewer more work. I love that he put him in that.
Yeah, he put him in Watchmen.
Put him in Watchmen. It's like, yes, everybody forgot about that guy. Put him in stuff.
It's a great movie. And then, like you were talking about before, I remember watching the prologue at your house, and we were all just
we did.
Let's go watch this movie right now. We couldn't wait. It was so good. Well, when the car clips the other car and hits the gas station, and the helicopter from the original Dawn of the Dead.
You know for other reasons why I love that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And the credit sequence with Johnny Cash.
Oh,
yes. Which was that in the prologue of the Johnny Cash song?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. It was. I don't think it was. I think it ended with the car getting clipped.
Yeah. And then it goes into the
Oh, credit. That's right. So, okay. Well, and then the movie's great, but it still can't live up to the first 10 minutes with the credits. It's still one of the best credit sequences.
Yeah.
It's one of those credit sequences that gets imitated since then. Like, just like after 7, everybody's been trying to do the 7 credit sequence.
Yeah.
Everybody for 10 years has been trying to do the Dawn of the Dead.
The Dawn of the Dead copycats are not as tedious as the 7 copycats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are really tough to get through. But anyway, I love Dawn of the Dead.
It's a great movie.
That was my number 4.
Yep.
Okay. Number 3, 2006, The Departed.
Best honorable picture. Mention.
Honorable mention.
Best, honorable mention.
Best, see, best
my,
picture
my,
winner.
My list is based on the fact that I knew Brian was going to roll those. And I'm doing something different.
I thought you were just copying Kevin.
No.
That does seem to be the theme of your guys' list.
We call
you're copying him. I don't think it's the other way around. But no, The Departed, it's a remake of was it Hong Kong Infernal Affairs?
Yep.
Which I'm not a fan of.
I love the original.
And mainly I'm not a fan of because The Departed does the opening 40 minutes of Infernal Affairs in 20 awesome minutes. Like, it's so good, that beginning before the title even shows up. What's the song, the Boston song playing?
Going down to Boston.
Yeah. I mean, that's just plain. It's awesome, and it just sets up everything so perfectly. It's a great.
I love The Departed, but I like Infernal Affairs too. I mean, they're very different movies. I think it's a cultural thing. They're very different.
I definitely love, especially, I kind of dug Infernal Affairs too, and I like them. I like them as one movie.
Well, and also Infernal Affairs is, I mean, it's setting up more than The Departed. I mean, unless they actually are gonna make a Departed 2.
I would see it. Yeah, I would see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening. Yeah. But I mean, Infernal Affairs, I feel like they had written everything all together.
Yeah, they did. They had.
I just feel like Departed so much more kinetic, you know? I mean, and I love, there's things in there where Scorsese is still trying new things. I mean, you saw that with Hugo, you saw that with Shutter Island. He's still doing interesting things with editing, interesting things with composition, just having, still playing with the form, even with a simple, you know, crime film.
Yeah, I mean, onto itself, it's a great movie. I'm just saying, story wise, I like the long form story of the original. But I like I said, I love.
But the original doesn't have Wahlberg, and Damon, and DiCaprio.
Yeah, yeah, it's got
and Baldwin.
It's got Andy Lau
and Nicholson. Yes, but it
Andy
only
Lau.
Has.
Do you not know Andy Lau?
I do know Andy Lau.
Andy Lau.
And Tony, I can't.
You gotta say it like that.
Andy Lau.
Yeah.
No, it does have a good cast. I'm just saying, Wahlberg just has the best one-liners in that fucking movie.
And spoiler alert, for those of you who haven't seen The Departed, kick yourself in the face, first of all. And second of all, that scene where DiCaprio dies, when he gets shot in the face, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's what can I say? Keep going on that while I hide that cat.
No, IMDb, whatever, it's about a cop who goes undercover with Jack Nicholson's the mob boss, and
I'm not gonna look it up. I just want to keep. I want to.
No,
hear.
No, I hear you. I really want to hear this. This is me.
Yeah, improvise it.
And
just
and,
go. Keep going.
And Damon's the mob guy that goes undercover as a cop, and they're both cat and mouse trying to find out who's the rat, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
And it won Oscars. And I'm sure everybody saw it was his biggest hit. Or well, I think Shutter Island passed it.
Yeah, I think Shutter Island did pass it.
Did it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Shutter Island, awesome as well.
Down to where are we at now?
Three. You're on three.
Three. Okay. Kevin. My number three is.
Just ask Kevin what yours is.
is your number three 310 to Yuma?
No, it's not. That's an honorable mention.
That is not an honorable mention.
I like it.
Eh.
Let's hear Ricardo.
So the original's cool, and I love the story of the original.
I haven't seen the original.
It's kind of cool, and but the remake, it's got Batman. I know. Batman and Gladiator.
that's the best thing about the movie is having those two bounce off.
And they're great.
Ben Foster. The whole cast.
I like Ben Foster.
Ben Foster.
Well, and, no, and all the small character parts. That'd be the next thing. You have Alan Tudyk and Ben Foster and Peter Fonda.
Yeah. Peter Fonda. You have the guy from... the guy from...
From Lost. What's his name?
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, yes.
Kevin Durant, yeah.
He's great. And then you got so many great characters. You have... Dallas Roberts as the...
Dallas Roberts is amazing.
He's good in that. He's always very different. I'm all, Dallas Roberts in this? And then halfway through the movie, I'm like, oh, that's him. I totally...
He was on Rubicon before I got canceled, and he was fantastic on that.
He was.
Walk the Line, he's in there.
Yes.
Well, you really like James Mangold, Ricardo.
He does. No, I know that, but
Copland, come on.
Copland's great. We've talked about that.
Yes.
Even a shitty movie is fun.
Yeah. But James Mangold, it's just fun. It's well paced. I really like the.
You mean the Three?
The Three, yes. It's the Three.
A lot of Western scores. The
Three. It was amazing when you're like, this is the Three.
I love a lot of Westerns, new Westerns. They try to do they always kind of try to go with a Sergio Leone type score, and they kind of fail. But I feel this guy went different. He's like, I'm going to do my own
score,
thing.
The score is great.
And
that.
It's a great score. The beginning and the end, it hits some great moments.
That's a good throwback Western. Because too many, I mean, I thought you were going to go that direction with that. Not just the score, but these new ones knew anything. And they're like, oh, let's take the genre and shake it up and make it grittier or something. And this one's like, no, it's just your throwback cowboys and, you know, cowboys, bad guys. And it's
with great acting.
But also, you know what, too? I'll just mention it as a movie that I should have mentioned at the beginning of the show, but... both you and I watched Young Guns.
Young Guns recently, yes.
But see, the thing what I like about that is that it was kind of like a pop. It was a pop Western.
Young Guns was trying to tap into the outsiders
and
whatever.
But they did it well because they had such good actors, I think. It worked, and it's still... I love it.
It was no Texas Rangers. Yeah. No American Outlaws.
See, American Outlaw tried to do that, and they failed.
Those movies are both terrible.
Emilio! They didn't have Emilio.
They did not have Emilio.
And Lou Diamond Phillips. You know, Chavez.
He has the worst monologue in that movie. Like, you kill my people, you don't know. It's so good.
He's like crying and
yeah. And it's just a random peyote scene.
Oh yeah, that's great. I love that scene because he's like,
why anybody see the size of that rabbit?
Yeah, it's a chicken. It's a chicken.
Yeah, it's a chicken. Like, why aren't they killing us? Because we're in the spirit.
Because we're in the damn spirit world.
Why don't we just stop and talk about Young Guns?
No. So it's James Mangold. It's Three Tony Humans. James Mangold. It's Kurt Russell. It's Christian Bale. It's Ben Foster.
Ben Foster's amazingly. Just awesome in that movie.
Yeah.
In everything.
The DVD commentaries I've seen, I've heard a lot of like the directors and the writers talking about Ben Foster, how Ben Foster's role was supposed to be really small, and then he got on set and they're like, well, get a writer here and start writing more stuff. I heard that for...
I feel like that happens with Ben Foster a lot.
Yeah, because
it happened with 30 Days a Night as well.
Yeah. We went to the Q&A and the writer was like, I was supposed to just be there just to kind of hang out. And he's like, Ben Foster came in and he had one day, and that was the first thing they shot. And he was so good that the director's like, keep writing stuff for Ben Foster, keep him throughout. And they kept him in for like half the movie.
Foster is the poor man's Ryan Gosling, and I don't know why he hasn't taken off as much yet.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say
that. That's a compliment. That was
a backhanded compliment if I ever heard one.
I'm saying because he hasn't broken through yet because I guess people don't think he's as attractive, or he keeps taking these small roles in shitty movies, but he knocks every single small part out of the park. I just wish he was in more stuff. I mean, I almost think about seeing crappy movies just because he's in it. I'm like, oh, it's Ben Foster.
He's so good in Alpha Dog.
Yes, he is.
He kicks some serious. He's got one of the best fight scenes ever.
Think about the shitty Brett Ratner X-Men. The only good thing in that
I don't
movie,
want to think about that.
The only good thing in that movie is Ben Foster. He's 10 minutes in that movie.
I'm not going to think about that movie.
Yeah. Think about it.
I'm not going to do it.
But Ben Foster is good in everything.
Yeah, he is.
What isn't he good in?
I 310 Yuma. My problem is the ending. It just wraps up a little too.
You have problems with everything.
No, that's my one thing with that movie. Otherwise, it's awesome.
It's a good movie. I like the ending. That's what I like about it. So that he's like, fuck it. I'm going to kill all these guys. Start anew.
So, Kevin, 310, number three?
No. No, that's an honorable mention for me.
Okay.
My number three comes from 1978, and it's Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
God damn it, Kevin.
Wait, another
is
horror
this
film?
Paying it forward?
It is. It's paying it forward.
Did you just do horror films on purpose?
What do you think?
Yes?
Yes. Nothing but horror movies.
He loves horror films. So.
I know, but can't you find another remake? Jesus. Okay, anyways, Invasion of Body Snatchers.
Well, I knew what you were going to have on your list. I'm like, well, I don't want to have a bunch of repeats on Brian's list, so I'm just going to stick with horror movies.
Well, that means we have the same number one, probably.
Most no, likely.
We don't.
I don't know about everyone.
Mean Adam. Anyways, go.
I'd never seen the original, and I saw it after I saw this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one do you like more?
Oh, I like this one more than the original.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
really?
I like this one more than the original, too, but I had seen the original first. I love them.
No,
well,
I saw
okay, it. Let's just both agree that both of them are better than The Invasion
yes.
and Body Snatchers.
Yes, I'll definitely agree with that. And the original is great, but for some reason, just the remake, this one just creeps me out more. The music is fantastic.
Jeff Goldblum again.
and he does a great job as Goldblum again. Donald Sutherland does a great job. I love what Philip Kaufman does with the directing, and just he really...
Kaufman's great.
He just has a really interesting career and does a lot of really good stuff. But I love how he just creates like who do you trust in this movie? And I love how he does that with his direction.
Yeah, I just feel like the movie's so stretched out when not compared to the original, because I saw this one first. But then you do go see the original, and you're like, man, they just, what is it, like 80 minutes, and it just gets it done and has all the same things that you love about it. I will say that remake is creepier, especially with the, you know, the...
I love that.
Which Community perfectly parodied
great.
Recently on their Glee episode. But yeah, it just stretched out too much for me. I didn't.
Yeah,
you don't like slow movies. That's what we learned. You're like, nah, get to it.
So all you filmmakers out there, keep it under 90 minutes or Brian won't go see it.
Yes, that's right.
I love it because it is so much, like, I love the original, but this one's much creepier. It's scarier. It's got the...
Wait, what number is it for you?
This is my number two.
Two, okay.
It's got the homeless guy dog hybrid, which is terrifying. Yes. When you're a little kid. And then I love Donald Sutherland.
Yes.
Like this was like a, I think this was like his heyday, or like this and
Has he ever gone away? I mean, he's just always great.
He is always great. But this is when he had Don't Look Now. He had MASH. He was just on a
Kelly Clute. Two Rose. Right?
Yeah.
I love Clute. Who Clute. Doesn't love Clute?
I haven't seen Clute. Yes. I haven't seen Clute.
You need to leave now.
I need to see it.
No, door's right there. Go ahead.
Well, take this time to go watch Clute.
is this your favorite Kaufman movie?
I don't know, because I like The Right Stuff a lot.
The Right Stuff is kind
come
of...
Come on.
See, yeah, I like this better than The Right Stuff.
What?
I don't know. Yes. I think I like The Right Stuff.
The Right Stuff's like all-timer.
Right Stuff is...
I like Invasion better than The Right Stuff. Yeah.
I think I have to go with
The
Right Stuff.
See, Right Stuff is a little...
As much as I hate agreeing with Brian, I think I have to go with The Right Stuff.
You agree with me more than you think, and you know that.
And I hate
You hate that fact, but it's when I'm listening to this, when you guys are talking, I'm like, Kevin's on fire. You guys, shut up.
He's got to go home and flagellate himself.
Yeah,
now,
I'm
going
to go cut myself later. So.
I know it's depressing.
Anyway, but so Sutherland, Leonard Nimoy,
yes.
Jeff Goldblum, Brooke Adams, and Veronica Cartwright.
Yep.
I love Veronica Cartwright. I love Kevin McCarthy's cameo in this.
Yes.
And my favorite part of Invasion was Veronica Cartwright's cameo in that. Other than that, fuck that movie.
Yeah.
What's the other Donald Sutherland alien invasion movie that's actually
the
pretty
Puppet
cool?
Master. Puppet Master. Which is the same story. Robert Heinlein wrote The Puppet Masters first, and then the author Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Out of all the shittier remakes that you mentioned, that's actually pretty cool. I recommend that one.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah, that one is pretty cool.
Like the scene where it's in his... Wait, is it in his son, or is it the father has got it?
I think... Isn't it the father?
I think it's the father.
Yeah. I think it's the father.
It's a well-made, cheesy B-movie. For what it is, and you get Donald Sutherland.
It is. It's interesting. That one would make for a good double feature with
the other
with Body Snatchers.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Abel Ferrara Body Snatchers, which is kind of weird. Just such a bizarre movie.
I don't know of that one.
So that was your number three.
That was my number three.
And my number two.
Two. What's your three?
Well, my number three. Let's see if it's pay it forward. My number three was The Fly.
So we just
got zeroed out.
Back
it's
to
all
you, Brian.
Okay, Brian. Back to me. So we're on two.
Yep.
1995's 12 Monkeys.
Honorable mention.
Okay, so I'm on the right track here.
Honorable mention.
It's, it's not necessarily a straight-up remake, but it's Chris Marker's
La Jetée.
Yeah.
The Jetty. But if you watch that film, which is on Criterion, it's pretty much the same story beats, and that the original is told through just still photos, and it's pretty fantastic. But the remake is so good. I think it's Terry Gilliam's last great movie. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me on that one.
I love Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I love Fear and
Loathing. To me, that's more of a trip than a
just stop talking right now.
Yeah, I like Fear and Loathing.
I do.
So wait, do you like Fear and Loathing more than 12 Monkeys?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Adam?
More than 12 Monkeys.
Come on, 12 Monkeys.
I'm going to need some time to deliberate on
that. Well, it's got that whacked out score. It's got one of Bruce Willis's better performances. He's more subdued. And it's got one of Brad Pitt's best performances. Yes. He's not subdued. He's just over the top. I don't know how he makes his eye do that thing. And he's constantly flipping. Like, Ocean's 11, he's always eating. He's constantly flipping people off in this movie. And it's bonkers. And I don't know if the plot is... In the future, 99% of the population has been wiped out. Everybody else lives underground. And Bruce Willis goes back in time to try to gather information. I'm a sucker for anything time travel. This film does it brilliantly with the like him being in World War One, and then you see that photo later, and it's creepy. It's just a fantastic movie with a lot of indelible images. I love it.
I love it, too. But
I'm kind of amazed that this movie got made.
Me too.
Between Terry Gilliam and Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
It's like, how did they finish this movie?
It did really well, too. And it managed a costume Oscar nomination.
Bruce Willis and Terry Gilliam just like bumping heads.
It just seems like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
I love them both.
That's one of the better, crazier Oscar nominations of all time is 12 Monkeys costumes. Just because of the weird like future suit and things.
His body condom.
Yeah. His body. They're like, Oscar. We that was amazing.
And that was your number three?
Two.
All right, my number two is...
Why are they laughing?
1941's The Maltese Falcon.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, there was a silent version of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 1931. What do you have to say now, Brian? What do you have to say now?
He's either going to say that it doesn't count because of the silent version or that he doesn't like The Maltese Falcon.
No, I love The Maltese Falcon. I just think... Didn't he remake his own shit? Isn't that like...
No, it's a different director.
Yeah.
This is John Huston, bro.
Yeah, no, but there's a story behind that one where it's just like... I don't know. You put it on there. Go ahead.
Yeah, nothing. You just wanted to interrupt just for the sake of interrupting. What was that about?
Just go ahead.
What do you have to say now? You cut me off. What do you have to say?
No.
Talk.
No. I forget what it was, but when I was thinking about my own list, I was like, Maltese Falcon, yeah, it's amazing, but it's not really, I don't know. It's like saying Hamlet.
Well...
Yeah. Damn it, Brian! No, just kidding. Hamlet's not on my list.
It's not a horror film?
It's not a horror
film. It's John Huston directing.
There's a ghost.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
Humphrey Bogart.
Peter Lorre. Peter Lorre.
Lorre.
Come on.
He's so good.
He's great. What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying say his name right.
Peter Lorre. There you go. That's for you. And he's amazing in it. And that's
Mary Astor?
Yes, Mary Astor is in it. Yeah. That's right. That's right. She plays the girl.
Is it Barrymore? In it. Who's the big dude?
Barton McLean.
Yes.
And it's a great movie. It's 1941. The first one came out in 1931, and that one was a silent film with like a Spanish actor as the lead, as the Humphrey Bogart character, the Samuel Spade character. But this is much better. It's John Huston. How do you not love John Huston and Humphrey Bogart? So that's my number two.
It's maybe... Bogart's one of his best performances.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I really
that
like
Treasure of Sierra Madre.
For some reason, I like I like Key Largo a lot.
Key Largo's fantastic.
Yeah,
I like
that's Huston
sleep.
Too, right?
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
The big sleep.
And for anybody who hasn't seen Maltese Falcon, it's all about the quote, you know, the stuff the dreams are made of. I mean,
you need to go watch the Maltese Falcon, and then you need to go watch the episode of Animaniacs where they spoof the Maltese Falcon.
Well, it's no, I mean that's one of those movies where you realize Simpsons have spoofed all these movies. And then when you go back and watch, you're like, oh, that's where that's from. Okay.
Yeah.
I love when The Simpsons spoofed your movie, The Departed, with the rat at the end.
It's a rat.
Yeah.
That's it. Subtext. Get it?
But no, it's great. That's all I have to say. I love that movie, and that's why it's my number two.
Yeah. Nice.
Kevin.
Is
The Maltese Falcon?
It is not The Maltese Falcon. My number two.
Is it a horror film?
Comes from 1991, and it's Cape Fear.
Okay, nice.
Good on ya.
I mean, Martin Scorsese, I love his direction, and Robert De Niro is awesome in this. And I love Robert
Mitchum.
Julia Lewis is great.
It's fantastic.
The two of them in this film are...
That scene.
That scene. on the stage,
it's gold.
In the theater. Yeah, is
it's printed gold.
It worries me that you think that scene is gold. Okay, Peter Lorre.
Yeah. But anyways, the two of them together, De Niro is so creepy in this and so terrifying in this. And when he gets on the screen with Juliette Lewis, especially in that scene, it's...
Come out, wherever you are.
Yes, and then that scene is great, just showing how crazy and how tough he is. And I've seen the original, and I enjoyed the original. Gregory Peck is great.
I have not seen the original.
Mitchum is great, but I have to say, Mitchum performance-wise, I'd rather watch Night of the Hunter because he's much crazier in that.
Still, yeah. That's on my shame list.
And when I was doing research on this, I actually read that they were trying to do more of Mitchum in Night of the Hunter than Mitchum in Cape Fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can definitely see that because De Niro is just so crazy awesome in this and so creepy.
The fact that he got an Oscar nomination for just studio thriller, that's how good he is.
Well, that's because every time he's on the screen, you're worried about what's going to happen with this guy in the scene.
I think the cinematography is pretty awesome in that. It's underrated.
Yes, cinematography is great.
And I remember you guys talking about directors a few. You were wondering, like, Cape Fear on Scorsese's resume. He's actually talked about that. That was, he needed to do a studio film. And Spielberg was like, hey, do this one.
Well, because they wanted him to actually do Schindler's List, and he didn't feel he was the right person to do Schindler's List. So Spielberg was like, okay, I'll give you Cape Fear if you give me Schindler's List.
So the reason you have this one sticking out is like, hey, come, make some money. Do just same with, like, Color Money. He's like, hey, do this till you'll get Last Temptation of Christ. So when you see these, like, ones that pop up on there, it's like him... well, obviously now he's doing nothing but
the Color
films.
Money is great.
No, Color Money is fantastic.
Yeah, Color Money is great. But
it's
such
a singular movie, even though it's a remake. It's just it's a very different movie.
Because you don't watch and go, oh, yeah, this is so similar to...
Like, even when Gregory Peck and Robert Mitchum are on screen with him, you're like, this is not the same movie at all.
They're their own singular characters.
But again, it's just him having fun. He's Scorsese. You just feel him like, I'm going to have De Niro walk right into the camera.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
And De Niro is terrifying enough that this almost made my list, my horror-centric list. I'm like, he's pretty fucking scary in this movie. He almost made it.
Yeah.
But also, I knew someone else was going to say it.
And again, for anybody that doesn't know the plot, just watch the Sideshow Bob Simpsons. Simpsons will teach you all about these movies.
Yeah.
That's very true.
No, but really, what's the plot?
So the plot is...
Thick him on the rake.
A convicted rapist released from prison after serving a 14-year sentence stalks the family of the lawyer who originally defended him.
I remember seeing the trailers for this movie when it came out, and they terrified me as a child. What year was this?
1991. Yeah. Well, they showed that scene where he's like, come out, and he's
it scared the crap. Just the trailer. Robert De Niro was that scary.
I don't want to go on houseboats because of this movie.
You should probably just watch the movie Houseboat then. Yeah. That might help. MacGyver lived on a houseboat.
Okay, so did we already do your two?
We did my two. It was Body Snatchers.
Yep.
Are we just... you do one now.
No,
you didn't get a talk.
No,
you didn't
get a talk. I did. I talked about how much I
like
it.
Okay, well, our ones, I'm guessing, will be the same here. It's 1982's The Thing.
That's my number one as well.
John Carpenter, not the new one.
That's not my number one.
That's because you're stupid.
I wanted to not put this on here because I knew you were going to put this on here.
You can't avoid it. I mean, it's so good.
Even with my amendments of sticking to horror movies only, I'm like, I know Brian's going to have this movie. I know Brian and at least one other person.
That's why I didn't put it because it goes without saying. It's one of those things like Spielberg.
I'm not going to avoid putting stuff on just because you might have it on. I'm going to tell you what's my favorite.
No, not because you might have it on, because I knew Adam was going to have it on.
It's true.
It's it's on three number ones for a reason. It's really good. I've never seen the original. It's
a lot of people opening doors in the original.
Yeah.
Is it? It's basically Howard Hawks.
It's also a 50s sci-fi movie.
Yeah. And it's based
Really like the original. And I think seeing the original would make you appreciate Carpenter's version even more.
Like what he added to it.
It's a sci-fi movie with a couple of scares. It becomes a terrifying horror movie that with just isolation and paranoia that were not necessarily as present in Howard Hawks'. I love Howard Hawks' version, but
Carpenter blows it out. Rob Bowden's makeup is landmark. He
can't beat it.
And he did Fight Club's makeup. People don't realize that. like the things in Fight Club that make it awesome.
Like, Jared Leto did kind of look like one of the things that even, gets the shit kicked out of
it. It's not even the face and the scars. It's like when they're spilling the fat. Like that's Robotin, you know? And, okay. And like Total Recall, when you see Schwarzenegger's eyes bulging out, that's Robotin.
Yeah.
Nah. So
get your ass to Mars.
Anyway, just get a thing out of his nose.
I just watched the Total Recall, and you could tell.
As you should, often.
I just recently rewatched it. It was on TV. And there's the scene where he's disguised as a woman,
mm-hmm.
when he's going to customs or whatever. And the mask opens up. Mm-hmm. You can clearly tell it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's another actor. But it goes by so fast, you're like, what was that?
I infinitely prefer that effect that you notice on DVD, you know, 20 years later than if they CG'd it.
I agree.
And same thing. And you saw the remake.
Unfortunately, yeah.
How was it?
It's not good.
The remake? Yeah. It's awful. It's
the prequel. I mean, wasn't it a prequel?
Well, oh, yeah. Prequel. Yeah.
Prequel. Whatever.
Yeah. It's terrible. I mean, it's not a terrible movie. It's terrible that it's anything to do with John Carpenter's The Thing. Like, the way they explain things is just like, I didn't need that. It's better not knowing. It's better being a mystery.
It's explained in the one scene, right? I mean, everything you need to know about what happened, you know from this one, right? Like, I don't know. It just seems superfluous.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. But because they try to explain more. Like, oh, no, we're going to... Oh, that axe was there. Why was that axe there? This is why the thing was there when they found it. And this is what happened. And they have to, like, explain everything.
They were
so tied to it. And then the creature, like, the version of the thing that they find at the beginning of the 82 version, mm-hmm. the way that they get to that is so bizarre and retarded. It makes no sense.
Do they try to psychologically explain the thing's motivation?
Fortunately,
shitty movies do.
No.
No, but okay, back Carpenter, the awesome score, which actually wasn't Carpenter, who has great scores, but it sounds like a Carpenter score.
Yeah,
very simple.
And the best
Kurt
thing about
Russell.
All the character acting and all that stuff is awesome, Kurt Russell. The best thing about this movie to me, though, is the fact that I've seen it a million times and I still pop it in, and it takes me a while to remember who's been, you know, taken over.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know, I'm like, oh, was it? No, it's got to be that guy. No. And then it gets, and you're like, okay, I remember, but maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think, even if you think you know, you never really
it's
know.
It's true. I mean,
I keep forgetting as well.
The scene where they're testing the blood, I'm still sitting on the edge of my seat going, I forget what's going to happen next. I forget what's going to happen.
Some of the best editing you'll see in forget horror film, in any movie, that's that sequence.
And I love the ending. Let's just sit here and see what happens.
Yeah.
It's great. Wait, did we talk about the thing before, like on an aired episode?
I think we did.
Yeah, the unaired episode, that was my number one.
We had an unaired episode, which was horror movies.
Okay, but as far as Carpenter movies, best movie?
Yes.
Best Carpenter movie?
Oh, yes. Easily, yeah.
Well, I mean, let's not neglect Ghost of Mars, guys.
That's it's almost there. It's number two.
Pam Grier, come on.
Yeah.
I'm more about Ice Cube in that.
No,
that's true.
Natasha Henstridge all the way. Natasha Henstridge.
I love a lot of Carpenter movies, but I mean, this one is best so movie. Rewatchable. So many great moments. Spoiler: when the dude's chest opens up, is the best. Like, I mean, that's the other memory. Is the first time I saw this and that happened, I was just like, "What the fuck just happened?" Forget the head crawling away. That's still awesome, but just when the chest burst open, that's the best. You can't beat that for like a first time.
Oddly enough, I didn't watch this movie early on. I saw this movie after I saw Cocoon. So seeing Wilford Brimley freak out and shooting guns at people fucked with me. I'm like, dude, why is my grandpa shooting at people?
That's so true.
Kids nowadays,
this is not going to be good for his diabetes.
It might confuse kids nowadays who only know him as
the diabetes guy. Diabetes.
I first saw Wilford Brimley in Belvoir Endor.
Yes. So this was not complete until Battle for Endor Shadow.
Yeah, I was like, no, why is that guy? He loves Ewoks. Why is he shooting people? So, yeah.
All right. So I think
that's all our number ones.
That's all she wrote. What's my number one?
Yeah, it's your number
it's
one.
All on you, dude.
I'm ready to hear this.
It's going
to
be gay.
Join us.
Well, do you want to hear or not, dude? It's not going to be gay. It's if you know me, you know what's going to be on here. And it's A Fistful of Dollars.
I knew it.
I love me some Sergio Leone.
I don't want to mention.
And it's
meh.
It's
shut the fuck up. No, just kidding. I like it. I like the original more.
You like Yojimbo better?
I like Yojimbo because I was not really a Kurosawa guy from the first few things I saw of his. But then when with Yojimbo, I was like, okay, now I get it. I get why people like him.
And well, see, the thing is that Kurosawa watched a lot of westerns to inspire him to make Yojimbo, which mm-hmm. is kind of weird that it kind of came full circle. but it's Sergio Leone, Clint Eastwood. It's the first one of the Man with No Name series. It's this, then For a Few Dollars More, then The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Which is a prequel.
Yeah.
And it's that. It's like the quintessential guy playing both sides of the town. It's been remade. Walter Hill remade it.
Yeah.
It's been done a ton of times since.
Yeah. But he kind of... just so well done. It's just, again, all of Sergio Leone's movies, that especially the Westerns, it's that voiceover, that dubbing that makes them, I think, just puts them over the top. It just... I don't think it would be the same if it just had, like, clean sound. I don't think it would be the same.
Have you seen this on a big screen?
I have. I actually
have. It's a whole... Like, I grew up watching it on, like, what, Super Channel or whatever.
Yeah.
TBS Movies for guys who like movies.
Yes.
But seeing it on the big screen for the first time was amazing.
There's something about the film that, when it's projected, that...
Yeah.
Definitely.
Very otherworldly.
I like Fistful and Few Dollars, but to me, Good the Bad is 10 times better than those.
Oh, they are. But this isn't, you know.
Yeah, we're not doing prequels.
Yeah, we're not doing westerns or greatest Sergio Leone films.
I'm just saying it's so weird that movie can be 10 times better than these really solid westerns. And also, Yojimbo, I mean, you add swords to that equation, and it's that much better.
Yeah, but still, I love me some Clint Eastwood, and I love me some
Leone.
Yes, so it's obvious.
Yeah, again, the thing went without saying. I knew Adam was going to have it on, and, you know.
So wait. So if we... If you were doing this list by yourself, would the thing be on yours?
See,
we don't talk about what we do by ourselves. Podcast. That's private.
This is the thing that Sergio Leone is on my list of all-time favorite directors. So I'd have to go with this one because to me, it's this one's more special to me.
That sounds arbitrary.
It's not arbitrary. I'm just giving you an example. The reason why I pick it.
I'm just fucking with
you. To me, this is more special to me. Okay. And to you, you know, True Lies. But you know, to each his own. So.
Wait, so do you have Jenny's list?
I do have Jenny's list.
In her absence?
Yes. So Jenny's list of top remake movies is number 5, Cape Fear.
Nice.
No? Number 4, you guys are not going to like this, guys, Man on Fire.
Oh, fuck that movie.
That's a remake?
That is a remake.
Number 3, The Thing.
Can we just say the fuck thing. That movie
number
for
three,
a second?
The Thing.
Okay.
Let's move on. No need to talk.
She's recovering.
We're an hour and 16 minutes in, dude. Shut the fuck up, Brian.
Okay.
Number 3, it's The my Thing. Fault. Number 2, Ocean's 11. Uh-huh. And number 1, Scarface.
You're not going to... Adam's not going to like
hate
that.
Scarface.
He hates it.
I hate it.
He hates
Scarface.
He hates everything about Scarface.
Really?
He hates how it's been co-opted by the hip-hop community.
Thank you.
I hate that a lot.
Yeah, I hate that.
Who doesn't hate that? But he hates how long it
is. Like, you're my advocate. I don't have to say anything.
Because Scarface is honorable mention. Just because it's got too many classic things to ignore it, even with the things that I don't like about it. But you have Pacino being over the top. You have
Brian De Palma's
great. You have the chainsaw scene. You have the fact that it inspired one of the best video games of all time.
Cinematography is amazing.
Yeah.
Don't cross over that.
And you can't not like a movie that has the "Say Hello to My Little Friend" when he's got like a mountain of coke. And
he doesn't say it there, but okay.
Yeah. But it's I agree with a lot of things Adam says, but I don't hate it. I mean, come on.
And
I'm not gonna lie, it's an irrational hatred. Because I mean, I can admit it's got some great moments in it, but I just hate this movie so much. It's because of like everything that it's become about.
Who's his side? What's that guy? He's awesome.
Stephen Bauer.
Stephen Bauer, yeah.
He was in Traffic.
Yes, that's right. He's yeah.
And
the pussy line. I forget what it is.
He's like, where'd you get that cigar?
Funny enough, that's my dad's favorite line in a movie ever.
Really? Well, that just, you know.
That explains so much.
That explains where you came from. Yeah. I don't know how that explains it.
But can we go back to Man on Fire being the worst piece of shit?
No.
Honorable mentions.
Little Shop of Horror and True Grit.
Wait, Little Shop of Horror?
Yeah.
Horror.
I've never seen that movie.
Horrors.
That's the porn version. Little Shop of Horror, sorry.
True Grit's a good remake. True Grit's a good remake.
Anyway, that's it.
Wait, I've got a couple honorable mentions.
Okay,
I gotta get out there.
Oh, shit.
Sorcerer, William Friedkin.
I haven't seen, but I love
Sorcerer. No, Sorcerer.
It's the remake to
Wages of Fear,
which I loved.
Like, even Friedkin admits, like, I have no idea why I made a remake of Wages of Fear, but he did. And I'm really glad he did, because I love this movie.
Rorschach is
amazing.
I read about Sorcerer, because...
It's in Easy Riders and Raging Bulls.
Right, he was just going in the jungle and doing whatever the fuck he wanted.
I love it. Like, it's a very different movie from Wages of Fear, but... They're both very good. I love them both. And then The Blob, 1988.
Yes, The Blob.
Oh, yes.
The Blob is my favorite horror remake. You have a whole horror remake list, and you left out my favorite, which is The Blob, which is fantastic, with Johnny Drama. and the makeup effects, and it's amazing because Frank Darabont wrote
Frank, Bardot, yep,
Frank Darabont. If you see any of his earlier stuff,
Shawnee Smith, man, it's all about Shawnee Smith.
Shawnee Smith, yes, she's hot. The makeup.
Not even because
awesome.
She's hot. I just think she's badass in that movie.
It's not her at her hottest. It's a fun again, like throwback remake. It's fantastic.
Do you have an honorable mention, Brian?
Well, other than what's been mentioned, I go to bat for 1991's Oscar with Sylvester Stallone.
Ugh.
It's fun. I think that's John Landis. It's a remake from French film. It's so much fun.
You probably like Rhinestone.
I don't know what that is.
It's a Dolly Parton Sylvester Stallone movie.
No. I think I saw like every Sylvester Stallone movie from 1991 to like 97 in theaters. I just had a Sylvester Stallone thing going then. It's fun. You should check it out. And I'm also the only one that's going to go to bat for the King Kong remake, not the 70s, but Peter Jackson.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
You are most definitely the only one
I forgot
going to
about
for that
how
movie.
Much you
that
love
is
that
such
movie.
A piece of shit. That is a piece of shit. That's you talked about the lovely bones being
how he's got a hard-on for Peter Jackson.
I know, cool. The Lord of the Rings was cool. It was one movie too long.
Meet the Feebles.
Made it in two movies.
His best movie,
Meet the Feebles.
Feebles.
I love Meet the
Frighteners
Feebles.
For me.
I love the Frighteners, but Meet the Feebles is his best movie.
Heavenly Creatures is fantastic.
My honorable mention is Scarface.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Let's stick to Adam. Let's not talk about Brian.
13 Assassins, which is a remake of 13 Assassins.
Too soon.
And The Beat That My Heart Skipped. The French film.
I didn't know that was
really
yeah,
sure
yeah, that's fantastic.
And it's
I just saw that recently.
It's I think his name is pronounced
Jacques Audiard.
Jacques Audiard, yes. And he so anyway, that's my list. A little business.
Wait,
you could
Kevin
find us.
Oh,
yes.
All my honorable
oh, my
mentions have been talked about already. So
yeah.
Like
we need to talk about Kevin.
We need to talk about Kevin.
We do.
So we mentioned all your honorable mentions.
Yes, they've already been talked about. I don't have anything that
we don't need to talk about
Let's
Kevin
just
anymore.
Skip that.
I know. So anyway, you could find us at www.thelistfilmpodcast. You could follow us on Twitter at The Film Podcast. And you could follow me at Ricardo Ultreras. That's Ricardo, Ultreras on Twitter.
I just joined Twitter.
So
it's amazing.
That's why I pulled it to you.
At Brian with a Y, Peril, Parrill.
I'm at Adam Scott, @_ Adam Scott.
And I'm at K Zuberbier. That's ZUBERBIER.
And what else?
And
what else?
ShootingTheScript.wordpress.com.
Yeah. MoviePass.
MoviePass.
You should sponsor ShootingTheScript.wordpress.com. We love you.
All the links are on the website, so check us out and have a good week.